On this week's episode of the Grit and Barrett podcast, the boys are back from the All-Star break, and the Capitals decide to pluck a vital piece from their offense. We kick off a five-game road trip in the Northeast as one game goes well and the other game not so much. We'll see where the boys stand in the middle of this big road trip in the middle of February. The Grit and Barrett podcast starts right now. Let's go. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Grit and Barrett podcast. It is a Monday, February 12th, post-mortem, post-Super Bowl. How's everyone doing? My name is Richard Blosser, welcoming you to the Grit and Barrett podcast, the first and only Hershey Bears podcast out there in the Hockeyverse, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. So, everyone, the All-Star break is finito. Done. NHL, AHL level. Ethan Frank retains his fastest skater title, I guess we want to call it. The Pacific Division One. Woo. That little competition. And next year, they're going to have it in Coachella Valley. Delightful. So, we're back from the break. The NHL's back up and running, thank goodness. And as I told all of you last week, or if I've said for the past couple weeks, the fun part of the season is over. All right, it's time to get down to business. It's time to get down to business to defeat the Huns. Sorry, had to. But now is the time where you're gonna have to grind out this part of the season. We go through this every year. For the next month, it's a lot of road games. PIAA is at Giant Center. Concerts are happening at Giant Center at this time of year. Because it happens. It's a scheduling. It's what happens every year. So the boys this week were ready to head up to the Northeast as we were going to take on our former El Guapo, the Providence Bruins, there on a Friday night up there at the Dunkin' Donuts Center. When the Capitals decided to call up Mike Scarbosa, as I think because Evgeny Kuznetsov has entered the player assistance program in the National Hockey League. This is starting to become more and more of a thing that players are doing. I don't exactly know the reason why. Maybe they're taking advantage of the resources in a good way. I don't know why this is happening more and more, but if Kuzi needs help, glad he's going out there to get it. I don't know if that's the reason why Mike Scarbosa got called up, but he's there. Okay. Mike's gone. He's even gotten a couple of points up there in DC. He'll be back eventually. Loppy came back. Lucas came back. I mean, he'll be back. We'll be fine. So we travel up to Providence this past week as the boys got back on a Thursday, had their first official practice there at the old barn because PIAA was a thing, and traveled up to Providence. Now, this was a two-game set that me and my friends eyed up all the way back in July. We would have liked to have done, but we kind of just liked Charlotte a little bit more there in March. I mean, we love the Providence and Springfield back-to-back combo. I mean, that's great. I mean, it's not like there was a 3 o'clock game in Bridgeport. I mean, you throw that in there and you got a stew going. But we go up to Providence, a place where this time of year has never been friendly to the Bears. And this year, it was different. We got two games in Providence all the way back in October because of Disney on Ice and all that. So this is it for facing Providence in Providence. They'll be back one more time at Giant Center and at the end of March, but this is it for Providence, who's gone on their usual mid-season run. Ever since after the holidays, they've been like 13-3-1-2. It's stupid how good they've been. And they always do this every year. So now it's time for us to go up there and complete this and get all three games up there in Providence. And I'm watching this on a Friday night with the wife. And would there be a part of me that would have liked to have been there? Absolutely. But the boys travel up there, and a pretty good lively crowd there in Providence. And surprise, it's a television game. Wait, what? Yes, Todd Sadowski and the boys traveled with Zach and said, hey, Let's try and do a television game in Providence. Todd, you sure about this? I've been there. The television product ain't that great. But they're trying to bring more division games to fans, which is fine. So they're doing a test run out there in Providence. I go to throw on the American Hockey League Gap. Oh, look, the server is getting overloaded because it's 7 o'clock and everybody wants to put the game on at once. So I guess I'll watch the antenna TV feed for a little bit and then go over. And I'm spoiled by AHL TV. It's glorious, crisp, high definition that comes off well. Antenna TV? Not the best. But the boys are going at it. And wait, what do you mean Trenev's been suspended? Oh, he got suspended for a high-sticking incident against Bridgeport? According to friend of the show, Corey Schwartz, there's nothing there that he would get tagged for. It's not like he took a baseball bat to his face and like a hatchet. Okay, Trenev's out. Great. For one game. Fine. We'll save him for tomorrow. We need bodies. And the Bears and Bruins go at it there on Providence. And folks, the Bears may have led early in shots 10-5 against Providence, who these are two of the top teams in the league going after each other. But boy, the Bears were outpacing Providence, but Providence was also playing their game. They were trying to push the boys to the outside, disrupting passing lanes, and making sure that this game was not going to be a lot of fun. This game was like the Dunkin' Donuts Center, Amica Mutual Pavilion, or the Amp. It was like that. No frills, no thrills, just hockey. And this was a slog of a game to watch. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it was really all that great or that really stuff happened. I mean, guys are trying. There's Ethan Frank. He's going to be charging to the net. Tries to get there to the puck in time, and wham! Oh, he crashes into the net with another Bruin. All right, it's fine. It's fine. All right, play stopped. Why is Ethan not getting up? Why is Ethan not getting up? But, Mommy, why is Ethan not getting up? Okay. He just got the wind knocked out of him. He'll be fine. He can't put weight on his right leg. No. Okay, he just needs to sit down on the bench. He'll be fine. Ah, he's going down the tunnel. Oh, God. God, now we lost Ethan. Not again. This happened last year. He messed up his shoulder near the end of the season. And you know, in hockey, you kind of need your legs. So now we don't have Mike Scarbosa and we don't have Ethan Frank. I mean, what's going to happen next? Mike Vecchione's going to take a puck to the face? That did not happen. Sorry, Mama Vec. That did not happen. But Ethan tried to skate out the second period, took warm-ups, and just went, nope, I'm done. Okay, all right, so we're down two of our bigger offensive weapons, and especially on the power play, you can really tell that Scarbosa and Frank are vitally missed. Scarbosa, like what, 13 power play assists, top of the league, 37 overall? Ethan Frank had, like, 8 power play goals on the season. I mean, okay, now it's going to time to dig deep for the boys. And we head into the second, and it's even more of the same. Slog, heavy hitting, up and down hockey we go. And, yeah, this is a Providence game. This is a game where you got to fight, scrape, and claw for everything. And Brandon Bussey, as good as he is leaving big, fat, juicy rebounds everywhere. And there's never a Bear there to get him. I mean, it hits the spoke to pee on his jersey and just right there on the ice. And I'm like, somebody get to it! But there's always a black and gold jersey that just smacks the puck away. And I texted the guys this, and I'm like, this is a Providence game, isn't it? My buddy Jesse texts me back and goes, yeah, this is a Providence game. 2 periods, 1 penalty, 0 goals. Yeah, this is a Providence game. And into the third, there are still zeros on the board. And the Bears are leading in shots 16-10. They're holding the second best team in the league to 10 shots. Hunter Shepard has a daiquiri and a Kindle in his hand because his night's been easy. So the Bears are getting some momentum going there in the third. We're finally getting the high-low game going once again. Henrik LaPierre takes a puck down low, throws in front. Joe Snively shoots, he scores! Joe Snively gets one, rips it past Brandon Bussey for his 10th goal of the season. LaPierre's 10th assist. Alex Lemos, who's healed, healthy, and can't say that here, gets his 19th assist, 1-0 Hershey. Okay, if this is the type of game we're going to play in Providence, 1-0 has won games up there before. Stupider, closer games have happened up there before. And Providence is getting that little pushback going, and I'm thinking, please don't let Providence tie this. They're really pushing those. There's a long shot, bounces off the glass. That was high and wide on Shepard. Bounces down off of Shepard right in front to a Bruin who backhands and he scores. Brent Harrison gets his 5th. Mark McLaughlin gets his 4th. Alec Regalia gets his 16th. And it's 1-1 Providence. Because of course it is. Of course it is. We can't hold a lead up there. I've only seen one win up there, and I've been up there 4 times. And deeper into the third we go, and I'm like, we're going to go to overtime, aren't we? It's going to be 1-1. This is how these guys beat Bridgeport all the time. And deeper into the third we go. And for once, the Bears get to the weakness of Brandon Bussey as Joe Snively, long shot off of Bussey, rebound. There's Lemos, and he scores! Backhand on a rebound. Finally, a white jersey is there to collect a rebound that Bussey left. Alex Lemos is 12th, and his beautiful hair. AJ who? No, it's Alex time now. Joe Snively, his 29th assist. Henrik LaPierre, his 11th. 2-assist night for LaPierre, and it's 2-1 Hershey. But you know this can't last. This is Providence. This can't last. They have Georgi Markolov. It was their all-star. And I've seen these Bruin games before. Some guy or on their 3rd or 4th line is going to get a goal. This is how it happens. Bussey comes off with 3 minutes to go. Bears are holding strong, treating it like a power play. 1 minute left. Left as Providence calls a timeout on an icing. Just hold the fort, lads. Hold the fort. As Providence gets set up over the boards, flings it back to the point. There's no one there, and the puck's rolling. Is it really? Yes, it is an own goal by Providence. Excuse me. Providence has just scored on themselves. I just shot a goal on myself. Credit goes to Aaron Ness because he was the last Bear to touch it. Aaron Ness gets his 4th by hook or by crook. That's how it counts in the standings. 3-2-1 win. Bears beat the Providence Bruins. Take all 3 games up there at take all 3 games there at the dump and win it by 3-1 the final. A tough, dirty, grimy, gritty win where your depth scoring was enough to beat what the team that's chasing you. The only real team in the East that's chasing these guys. Now, Providence, it busted their big winning streak. It busted Brandon's, 8-game winning streak he had. And for once, the Bears took all 3 games up in Providence. I don't know when the last time that's honestly happened. We're 5-0, I think, against Providence this year. I think. Let me just see if the AHL app actually has this. Let's see here. Bam, bam, bam. Yeah, the Bears are 5-0 against Providence. I mean, you want to know how much Providence has owned us? The last 5 seasons, the Bears are 18-11-1-2 against Providence. Providence is 14-4-2-2 against the Bears the past 5 seasons. So yeah, to have this type of run against them, it just feels so good and so satisfying. And that's how you kick off a road trip. And that's how you kick off a weekend. I'll fully admit, in our pick list, I didn't take the Bears at all this weekend because this felt like a weekend where this is where the boys are going to stumble. But you know what? Great job against Providence. They got the job done. And up next, it's on to Springfield. And oh boy, Springfield. And we'll get to that right after this. Alrighty, Bears fans. I'd like to take time to thank our sponsor, DraftKings Sportsbook, for sponsoring this podcast. With a gentle reminder, you can turn $5 into $200 instantly in bonus bets, no matter what you bet on, folks. Lord Football is coming and passing us, but that doesn't mean there's not a lot of sweet gambling action out there. Basketball season is going to be in full swing. College basketball is going to be wrapping up soon, and you'll get ready to put some sweet, sweet action there on some college basketball. Whatever your gambling fancy might be, DraftKings has got you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code THPN. New customers can get $5 to get $200 and instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 58 with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after insurance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gambling resources. And we're back here on the Grit and Bear It podcast. Thank you to DraftKings Sportsbook for sponsoring this show. All right, so after that great win at Providence, the boys head 90 minutes west all the way to Springfield, Massachusetts for a big game against the Springfield Thunderbirds. Now, not necessarily the biggest game like for us per se, but it was a very special night there in Springfield, Massachusetts. It was Springfield Isotopes night. Because it's Simpsons-themed night. Because Springfield, Massachusetts. That's why. Fourth year in a row, I think, minus the pandemic, but fourth year in a row of them doing this. And as much as I knock against this, these are incredible jersey designs that Springfield has done. It's an extremely popular night. They play Simpsons remix themes all night long. The Scream graphics are Simpsonized. I mean, the Thunderbirds logo is the Springfield Thunderbirds logo has a weird mix of Homer Simpson and a Thunderbird on it. The Bears logo is actually changed into that bear from the first season of The Simpsons where I think Homer and Bart got lost in the woods. If you know what I'm talking about. And I gotta give Springfield credit. They commit to the bit, and that's great. That's absolutely great. Good for them. Good on them. And the Bears are going into this minus two of their bigger scoring options, Ethan Frank and Mike Scarbosa. It's a back-to-back, but I feel, you know what? We've handled worse this season. We've handled worse. Optional morning skate this morning. At least they had that. And we go into Springfield, and it's a sold-out crowd there out there in Springfield. But why is there gaps on the hard cam? Why is there gaps there on the hard cam? Shut up! It's a sold-out! But there's gaps right there in the defense zone. Shut up! It's sold-out! All right. That's not important. Rather rowdy atmosphere there at the MassMutual Center. As always, some Bears contingency made out there too. In the first period we go, and as expected, Springfield has the advantage, has the fresher legs. They didn't play the night before. Heck, they haven't played since freaking Wednesday day. And the Bears are trying to hold on. to hold on, and it's nothing. They're in the first. They're taking on Malcolm Subban yet again, and his beautiful glowing green helmet. And, ooh, those jerseys for Springfield. Glowing nuclear green with dark blue and gray accents on them. Oh, wow. They are something. And in my friend's group chat, they loved it. They absolutely loved it. I liked them. I just thought they were a little much. I said the same thing about the Seahawks' nuclear green jerseys. I'll say the same thing about this. But back to the action. Late in the first, Bears pressing a little bit. Jimmy Huntington finds Garrett Rowe in front, who shoots and scores! Garrett Rowe beats Malcolm Subban. Almost the same way we got him when we beat him in Rochester. Garrett Rowe gets his 6th. Jimmy Huntington gets his 11th. Chase Pretzky gets his 20th. 1-0 Hershey. And it quiets down the crowd there in Springfield. So let's not get them going once again. Providence Springfield starts pushing back a little bit. Power play was just wrapped up for them as Jake Massey went off for holding. Adam Gaudette, the man who's pretty much above Patrick Dubé. Long shot, Bolduc deflection, they score! Zachary Bolduc with his 7th. Adam Gaudette, 14th. Mikhail Abrov, his 11th. And it's 1-1 after 1. All right, we knew this was going to happen. We knew. And I'll give Springfield credit. Their goal song wasn't whatever it usually was. They had the goal horn, which is a very loud one. Not like Lehigh loud, but a loud one. And it went into like this rock version of the Simpsons theme where you heard the guitar going, da-na-na-na-na-na-na. And again, they commit to the bit. And I can respect that. I can absolutely respect that. 1-1 after 1. So Coach Nelson's always great at adjusting. Once again, the third and fourth lines are going to have to step up. We're really going to have to get ahead of these guys. And into the second we go. Springfield comes up with the rush. A four on two? Who's got who? 4-on-2. Dozak over to Lafreniere. Shot. That gets blocked. Turnaround shot. And they score. Keenan Washkirk. His 2nd goal in a month. Who just does a turnaround low shot that beats Clay. Yeah, it was Clay Stevenson in that. Clay, you can handle that there, buddy. Okay, 2-1. 2-1. We're going to be fine. Couple minutes later, another rush, a 3-on-2 for frickin' Springfield. The heck's going on here? Led by Captain Matthew Pekka, who just throws one knocked aside by Clay. All right, that's the guy we know. Gaudette from below the line throws one, banks it off of Clay, and it goes in. What? He just banked it off Clay's shoulder and into the net. Huh. I guess this is what Cal Peterson feels like. Adam Gaudette, his 25th. Matthew Pekka, his 26th. Hunter Skinner! Gets his 4th. And it's 3-2 Springfield. 5 minutes into the second. All right. Okay. Let's just breathe. Let's just try to get back into this. And the Bears just seem just a little bit off. The passes aren't connecting. The pucks are hopping over the stick. If there's a rebound, the Bears just aren't there. Malcolm Subban's playing very, very well. But I know we're better than him. We've beaten these guys before. Long dump in near the end of the period. Gets dumped in on the Bears. And Clay sort of knocks the puck away. There's Dylan Mickelrath, who just kind of looks at it like, "You got this, bro?" Clay's like, "No, I thought you had this." Hugh Guinin comes in and goes, "No, I got it." Into the net, and it's 4-1. Guys! Communication! Like I'm taught with my marriage. Communication! 4-1 after 2, 4-1. And my buddy Joe texts our favorite Family Guy meme. Done. Well, you're not a Bears fan if you're giving up through this game. Have you seen what's going on out there? Not our night's one thing. Making boneheaded mistakes like this? Springfield gets a power play. Oh, I'm sure this is going to go well. But the Bears, they're starting to press a little bit. They're short-handed. Jimmy Huntington riles a puck there out of the corner. Skates beyond net. Throws out in front. Jake Messi kneeling one-timer. They score! Jake Messi with his second goal of the season. Jimmy Huntington, his 12th assist, and it's 4-2 Hershey. A shorthanded goal. Okay. All right. We're down by two. We beat Rochester. So, okay. Into the third we go. And the Bears come out just flying, throwing everything there at Malcolm Subban. Now we're getting the puck possession going. Now the defense is keeping it at the point. Passes are connecting. All four lines are rotating, throwing them on Malcolm Subban. Wrister on the way. Subban stops it, but it rolls by him and just stops in the crease. The Bears try to get it, and Springfield just slaps it away. Oh my gosh, it was there. And for the half of the third, 9 shots get put on goal. Subban puts it aside. But all we got to do is get one. And then we're down by one. Springfield's a team that's known for giving up leads. We get halfway through the period. Bears, the defensemen now have to play up. They can't really play in the zone. And a puck gets thrown out to center ice. There's Will Pitney's behind the defense. Comes in on Clay. Deeks backhands and he scores! Are you freaking kidding me? Way to go, to blow all that hard work you guys did. 11 and a half minutes. 9 shots on goal. And then just one scoring chance. The one freaking scoring chance Springfield has. And you just let them waltz right in? Oh, don't think you're getting off the hook, Clay. You're not getting that. You got froze by Will Bitten. All that hard work wasted. Will Bitten gets his 11th. Zach Dean gets his 3rd. Joseph Dezak gets his 14th. 5-2. We're done here. We're done. Power play for the Bears. As before was a 4-on-4, as both Hardy and Colin went off for roughing. Ryan Suzuki went off for goaltender interference. Okay. And it's a freaking 4-on-3 for the Bears. And a 4-on-3? Okay, you score here and you get another power play goal. You're right back in it. But they get nothing on the 4-on-3. And I realize, yeah, no Scarbosa. No Ethan Frank, and it was obvious that they were missed. Joe Snively's able to rest it. Dubé, where are you? Goes on to a 5-on-3. Mike Vecchione throws one to Lemos, who deflects it, and they score. Alex Lemos gets his 13th. Mike Vecchione gets his 11th. Joe Snively gets his 30th assist. 5-3. Great. Now I gotta care. Goalie gets pulled. The Bears are peppering Subban, who's just doing just enough to keep Springfield in it. But Tylan Coughlin throws one 150 feet, and it goes right into the empty net. To make it 6-3, Coughlin gets his 11th, and we're done here. Springfield wins 6-3 the final. And you know what? This was Clay's worst game of the year. Absolutely bad. 2 of those goals, yeah, should have been stopped. The turnaround, low one, and the gaff. Those 2 don't go in. It's a game. It's an absolute game. No disrespect to Springfield, who played outstanding hockey. And Malcolm Subban had a good enough night. But this was a bad performance by Clay Stevenson in this. And this was a night where the Bears got exposed. Just exposed. What have I kept saying about this team? The only team that's going to beat Hershey is Hershey. And that was a little shown tonight. Defensive gaffes. Subpar goaltending performance. And I believe that the Bears more lost the game than Springfield won it. And a lot of Bears fans were like, oh, well, they were tired. It was a back-to-back. Excuse me? You're going to use the tired excuse? No. And I'll get off on a rant on this one. This qualifies as being tired? All of you Bears fans remember the Northeast 4-5s back in the day. Remember those? Wednesdays in Laval, Fridays in Providence, Saturdays in Portland, and then a 3 o'clock start in Manchester on a Sunday afternoon. Or let's take this another level. Adirondack on a Friday, Springfield on a Saturday, Providence on a Sunday afternoon at 3. That's tired. A back-to-back in from Norfolk. A Friday night in Norfolk and a back up north for us. That's tired. Not a 90-minute trek west. Now, yeah, Providence was a tough, hard-fought game. But this was a scenario where you had a back-to-back. But to play the tired card? No. No. You got to get used to that. There's a ton of back-to-backs in the NHL all the time. My team, Pittsburgh, just had two of them. A Friday night in Minnesota, Saturday night in Winnipeg. That's what happens. But these aren't like the old 3-3s. I've gone through these. Providence, Hartford, and Bridgeport on a three-game bender throughout the Northeast. Or how about one for all you old schoolers out there? Hartford Friday, Providence Saturday, Portland on Sunday. Or Providence Friday and a double dip in Portland Saturday and Sunday. So a lot of you could go bar hopping there in Portland. I know what you did, Booster Club. I've heard the stories. But this being tired? No. The Bears got beat by themselves in this. And I'll give some credit to Springfield, who's 4-0 on these isotope nights. It's just, I don't like the excuse. Oh, they were tired. Bull. They got beat. Plain and simple. And you think it's going to get any easier as we go along? It's not. We still got 3 more road games. It's time to head to the Great White North. Take off, eh? Yeah, it's time to go to Canada. As next week we have the Marlies at 4 o'clock on a Saturday because you got to make room for the Maple Leafs. And then another Monday afternoon game, which nobody asked for, against Belleville. That's a 2 o'clock start. And then a Wednesday night in Laval, that's a 7 o'clock start. And then the boys finally come back home for a back-to-back at home against Wilkes-Barre and Rochester. So, yeah, not a lot of home games, but the schedule don't get much easier. You want to talk about back-to-back, so they're coming. They're absolutely coming. Still a lot of road games to go. So, I'm more upset at all the errors that happened against the Bears. And we're missing Scarbosa, and we're missing Ethan for however long that he will be. Nobody cares. No one's going to care. You're a top team in the league. This is why you won so many games, for whenever the slump happens, you got plenty of buffer to have it happen. And I believe in Coach that he's more than enough to weather through this. He is. And the boys will right themselves, and we'll see how this goes. So let's see where the Bears stand as we head into middle February, as I like to call, these are the dog days of the season. The Bears still sitting first at 37-9-0-2 with 76 points. Providence is in second with 63 points. The Bears are still 13 points up on them. Wilkes-Barre sits in third with 55. We're 21 points up on Wilkes-Barre. Hartford sits in fourth with 53. Charlotte sits in fifth with 50. The Thunderbirds sit in sixth with 49. The Phantoms sit in seventh with 49. And the Islanders are at 32. If the playoffs started today, it would be Wilkes-Barre versus Springfield with all three games up in Wilkes-Barre, and Hartford versus Charlotte with all three games in Hartford. A quick look at the North. Syracuse leads the North with 57 points. Cleveland is in second with 55. Toronto in third with 48. Rochester in fourth with 48. Belleville in fifth with 47. The Rocket, wow, actually are in sixth with 46 points. And Utica in seventh with 45 points. A tight race, tight race there in the North. It's six teams that get in, and I don't know, above my pay grade. We'll figure that out later as we go on. The Bears still sit number one in all the length with 76 points. The only teams close to them are Providence and a team that's on a 16-game winning streak, which is the Milwaukee Admirals with 63 points. Coachella Valley and Tucson round out the top five. So that'll do it for the Grit and Barrett podcast this week, everyone. Thank you so much for your times, listens, and downloads. We still got a lot of road games to go, everyone, but there's still a good amount of hockey left as the midseason push, the dog days of winter are still upon us, and we push forward. If you love the show, please subscribe to it to whatever platform you're listening on. Tell other Bears fans about this so we can keep this podcast going. But until next time, my name's Richard Blosser. Go Bears, and we'll see you next time. Thank you for downloading this episode of the Grit and Barrett podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe on whatever podcast platform you are currently listening to. If you are listening on Apple or Google, please leave us a 5-star review as it appeases our algorithm overlords. If you enjoyed this podcast, please check out the Hockey Podcast Network, where there is a podcast for each and every NHL team. We also cover the American Hockey League. They have a podcast about college hockey and all the ins and outs of the hockey world. If you wish to know more about our parent club, please check out the official Caps Chirps podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network, as they cover all things Washington Capitals. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at GritAndBarrettP1 on Twitter. That's at GritAndBarrettP1 on Twitter. This podcast is dedicated to the memory of Patricia Blosser, who passed away on December 5th, 2020, to dementia and COVID. The show is also dedicated to all of the Hershey Bears friends, fans, and family who lost their lives to cancer. Cancer sucks. Thank you once again for listening to the Grit and Barrett podcast, and go Bears!